Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's anniversary sale with Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
All righty, rock and roll in hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. If you listened to this show this past year, you know before the season started, I was all in on the Florida State football team. I had them winning the ACC championship. They ended up doing that. Mike Norvell has an incredible program, and the Seminoles are now back. And a big reason because of that is Braden Fisk, who's kind enough to join us right now in studio, transferred over to Florida State this past year, and now is getting set for the NFL draft. And man, after that 40 time, your stock was already rising. But now it's booming. I'm seeing you all over the place late in the first round. So appreciate you coming in. How you been?
I've been doing good. Thanks for having me, first off. And first time out here in New York, so it's been great so far. Just a good opportunity. It's my last stop, so I'm kind of excited. And this is awesome. I appreciate you having me on.
So the fun starts once you get out of here. Maybe you go get some pizza.
Yeah, right, maybe. We've been second pizza stop. We just made two pizza stops. Hit some other food spots. Kind of just been all over the ton of walking. Yeah. That's like the one thing.
Welcome to the city.
Ton of walking, ton of traffic. Yeah.
If you want to avoid the traffic, just get to walking. If you want to go to Katz's Deli, maybe get a pastrami sandwich with some mustard. It's a staple. It's an iconic place. So trust me, we could talk off the air. I'll give you 9,000 food recommendations. I'm a big fella just like yourself. So I know how to eat properly. But what has this rise been like for you? You know, the transfer portal process, you're at a smaller school, then you go to Florida State. And not only was Florida State back on the map this year, you really got put on the map.
Yeah, for sure. It's been surreal. Definitely been surreal just kind of going through the whole process. And especially from where I started, you know, entering the transfer portal from Western Michigan. I mean, there was a lot of goals I set for myself and a lot of aspirations I had made. But, it's a lot of things I manifest. You know, I've been trying to plan for this for so long. And, you know, like the more, you know, closer I got, the more things started to happen. And, you know, I kind of say it a lot, you know, the harder I work, the luckier I seem to get. And, you know, it's just been something that's kind of built and built and built. And, you know, I kind of got up to this point, and it's just like it's starting to boom, and it's, you know, it's insane. But trying to take a day at a time, you know, trying to live in the moment as much as I can. I mean, especially getting the opportunities like this to be out in New York and, you know, seeing everything I am and just being able to meet all the people I've been able to meet. And just, you know, the 2 days I've been out here has been incredible. But it's unbelievable, you know, and especially like even my parents, you know, trying to, you know, because they're home trying to see all this go down. I'm trying to keep them in the loop. I mean, it's honestly incredible.
It's really cool, and it's well deserved, because your stats have always been in a pretty good spot, but you just didn't get the recognition. And then the Senior Bowl happens, the combine happens, and I sit there and I'm like, why didn't he get the recognition earlier? We shouldn't. This is what I hate with the draft process.
Right.
It shouldn't just be the Senior Bowl and the combine. People need to go watch your tape and see the impact that you made on the field all throughout the
year. Right. And, you know, I see that a lot, too, of, like, guys like, oh, he had one good year. I mean, but I had better stats, you know, previous years at Western Michigan, and you know, nobody noticed. But of course, you know, you get the platform, you get the, you know, the notoriety from a bigger school. It's like, oh, so he actually is a good player. And you know, that's kind of been the story of my whole career. You know, coming out of high school, it's like, you know, going to a small Division I school, Western Michigan, in the MAC. You know, oh, he doesn't play good enough competitions. All right, well, he makes the jump to Florida State. It's like, all right, let's see if he can play with the big boys. Go play with the big boys. And coming out of there, it's like, all right, well, we want to see him against the best. We want to see how athletic he is. So Senior Bowl, Combine, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm just trying to check every box. You know, so far, I think that's kind of been, you know, just what I've been able to do. And it's been a crazy experience.
Sometimes, as Braden Fisk is in the studio with us, is projected to be a first-round pick, was a stud this past year at Florida State. Sometimes guys are late bloomers, and it takes a while for people to realize their full potential. Did you always know the type of player you could be, or was there a moment in the last few years where you said, wow, I actually got a chance to go play in the NFL one day?
No, I've definitely had this overwhelming belief in myself for the longest time. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of people in my corner that have a lot of belief in me and always told me, you know, just stay true to your path. And there's a lot of times that, you know, like, you know, you get so many people that, oh, just keep being you. You're like, man, I haven't been me for a long time. It still ain't happening. You know, I'm going into my 6th year of college football and I'm still waiting on my shot. But, you know, I've been able to realize, you know, over my time, and everyone runs their own track. Everyone's track's a little different. And, you know, for mine, you know, it took 6 years to get here. And, you know, everything I laid out happened when it did, and that's okay. Like, I when I got into college, my thing was, I'm going to do 4 and get out of there. You know, year 4 came, I was like, I'll do one more. Year 5. And year 5 came, I was like, all right, last year. You know, like, luckily I had the COVID year to get that 6th year in and, you know, get to go to Florida State, and it kind of changed my life. But, I mean, yeah.
So with this journey – and you look at the rise that you've had and how many years of hard work that you put into it, when you look back at all those years of college football, like, what's the moment that you look back at and you say, okay, that's the thing I'm most proud about with your career?
Honestly, the ACC championship game, I mean, that was like the final, you know, draw the curtains like moment for me. It was like, my whole college career, even like from high school, you know, Pop Warner days, like that was like the finally, you know, like, you know, I've been waiting on a breakout game. Like, I mean, I've had great games in the past, mm-hmm. sure, but like on that moment, on that stage, you know, in front of my that many people, my family, you know, for where Florida State was to where we're trying to, you know, get it back to, like, to have that game when I did, that was like the one moment in my career I was like, man, like, it happened, you know, we finally did that. And it's something, you never know what that's going to happen. You have a game like that. You know, you prepare, you stay consistent. And, you know, like I said, you never know what's going to happen. When it finally does, you're like, oh, man. Like, as soon as I made the second play of the game, I was like, all right, we're going to have a day. You can just feel it. It's like the X factor turned on. But, so, yeah, that was definitely the one moment in my career of just like, yeah, here we go.
I was talking to your old coach, Mike Norvell, a few weeks ago. And I said, I hate how we talk about the Florida State season from a year ago. Because no one remembers the great games, right? That epic game against Clemson and everything else that you guys were accomplished. You were undefeated, because everyone just remembers that image of him sitting when you guys didn't get in the college football playoff.
Right.
And he didn't say anything. You just saw the look in his eyes and his hands were getting real tense. It's so unfortunate. You being in that room that day, just what do you recall from it when you guys found out you weren't one of the 4 teams selected?
I mean, it was terrible because, I mean, we were riding the high of the championship game. You know, we're thinking, oh, we're an easy in now, right? Like, and I mean, the ESPN broadcast is there because we're thinking, oh, we're ready for the celebration. You know, people are walking in the room and it's, you know, like, get the drinks ready, you know, like that time, like that type of celebration, you know, like, let's go. And, you know, the first team of Michigan goes up, then Washington goes up and say, okay, cool, like 3 or 4, we're in that range. Then, boom, Texas goes up. Once Texas here was like, oh boy, like,
yeah, they weren't leaving Alabama. Yeah, that's how they weren't leaving the SEC.
You could see the kind of the lean backs in the chair of like, oh, what's going on here? And then, yeah, as soon as we saw, I was like, damn, that's you just knew. I mean, it's horrible just because, you know, you go into the season with all these goals and aspirations. You know, you go 13-0. You do everything that you're told to do, and then you're just left out, which. It's in the past, it's unfortunate, but like the one thing that hurts is like that team will never be together again. That coaching staff, you know, training staff, they just, like, as a program combined, you know, they'll never be together again. That's what sucks the worst, for sure.
Tell me about the first moment, because the transfer portal, and I've talked about this with Mike Norvell before, as Braden Fisk is in the studio with us, it's like speed dating. Like, yeah. You got to make a decision. You got to make it quickly. You think you're making the right decision, but through time, you'll know if it's the right decision. How did Mike Norvell, you know, put aside the money, put aside NIL and all that stuff, How did Mike Norvell sell you and wanted to take a ride on that journey to Florida State for a year?
Sitting kind of how we are. He's sitting in my kitchen with me and my dad, and he's just like staring contests, he's banging on the table, giving me all the reasons, why I need to come to Florida State. And just the intensity, he brought a different intensity to any other coach I've met with. You know, a lot of coaches, you know, they kind of put on the recruiting act, and, you know, they want to be your friend. They want to be friends with your family, which is cool. But Mike Norvell, I mean, he's sitting in my kitchen. He's like, no, I'm going to coach you. I want to coach you. Like, it's all business with him, and he gives you that 1,000-mile stare straight through you, and you just – yeah, I mean, what I was looking for in my last year was exactly what I want. I knew he was going to push me. I mean, I wasn't looking for the craziest NIL contract. I was looking for somebody that was going to put me in the NFL, you know, give me the best year, and I wanted to win. I hadn't won in my college career, and I could tell, like, no, this place is going to be a winner. Just by the way, he was talking about who they were bringing back and, you know, who they were bringing in the transfer portal. I was like, no, something special could be built here, and I just wanted to be a part of it. I thought it was going to be awesome, and it turned out to be better than I could have ever imagined.
So you guys have this great season, an unfortunate ending that was out of your control. And then once the college football playoff ends, Nick Saban retires. Right. And then there's some thought that Mike Norvell is going to be the next coach at Alabama. Now, it didn't go that way. DeBoer ends up getting the job coming over from Washington. But now that you know Norvell is there to stay to be the guy at Florida State, what emotion does it elicit for you?
It's huge. I think, you know, that's the greatest decision Florida State could ever made is keeping or being able to keep him around long term. Because, I mean, from just my experience, I mean, he's going to be one of those coaches talked about in 30, 40 years of, like, man, like, just what he was able to do, what he's able to accomplish. I have no doubt he's going to win a national championship or two or three, maybe more. But he just has it about him. Like, he's consistent. Everything he does in the building, like, he makes everybody in that building better. And that's including all sports. Like, he demands it out of everybody. I mean, every day you walk in the building, he's the first guy in the lobby yelling, good morning to everybody. And he demands it. And, like, he just, the energy he brings, like, it's a trickle effect. I mean, it goes from him to the coaching staff to, like, the rest of the support staff, whether that's, you know, the training room, the academics room, whatever it may be. And, like, it trickles down to the players. And, like, everyone holds each other accountable. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It's crazy. I mean, I spent 5 years in one program, and going from that to, you know, Florida State was, like, I mean, just completely culture change, you know, just to see how it was ran and, you know, how guys are bought in. And, I mean, you look at our team, most of our team was built up of transfers. I mean, you look at our starting 22 from offense and defense. I mean, it was, I would say, nearly probably 17 of the 22 were guys that had transferred, whether they're one, two, or three-year transfers. Like, that's pretty crazy to be able to build that in such a short period of time. And, it's a testament to him, like, what he's able to do. And, no, I think that will be by far the best decision that Florida State ever makes is having Norvell there long term.
And you know what I love too? You talk about the transfers. DJU is now going to Florida State. Because I'll be real with you, Braden Fisk. I used to like Clemson. Yeah. Like when they first came onto the scene with Deshaun Watson and then Trevor Lawrence, like they were a fun story. But Dabo, the last few years, has become so insufferable. I would love to see DJU just get some payback on Clemson.
Right. No, I mean, I think he was just, for him, and just, you know, the way his career has gone, I mean, and selfishly for Florida State to be, you know, to win a national championship, I'd love for him. I mean, win a Heisman, hell, do whatever you want. I mean, whatever you are to be, be successful. I mean, I love it because, I mean, that's a place I'm going to go back to and, you know, a place I call home and, you know, it's a place of familiarity. I mean, that place embraced me and, you know, with open arms and, you know, ever since, you know, I played there from now, I mean, the amount of love and support I get from there, I want the ultimate success for them. And obviously, if that means DJU whipping up on Clemson, I'm all for it.
A 4.7840? How the heck?
4.75 officially.
Oh, okay.
Officially.
Sorry, I screwed you over there for a second.
I need those three tests.
How the heck did you do that? Did you know that you could run that fast?
Yeah, I knew I was going to run that. I mean, well... I say that, but it took some. I mean, it took a lot of work, but that was the goal going into it. You know, when we first started, like when I got there January 1st and we did like our pretest, I ran like a 5:02. That was like my pretest, but I told, you know, Pete, my trainer, I was like, no, like,
you can do better.
I can do I can get a 4.7. There's no way I couldn't. Like, seeing the pretest made me mad. I was like, no, there's no way that's how slow I am. And then, just the work that was put in. And I mean, each week that I'm down to training, you get a little faster, a little bit better. You know, you keep tracking your times and, you know, I'm creeping up on them 4.7s, and once we hit that last combine or last mock combine before the actual one, I was like in the 4.7 range. I was like, all right, we're gonna do it. And then obviously, when I went out there, I was feeling great. Like, because the whole point of like the training you do is to peak up to that point.
Yeah.
And you know, with everything built in, and, you know, followed every rule that we had to, you know, that was dialed in for us. And sure enough, you know, that 4.7 hit, and it was
And they made a big deal about the when you crossed the finish line in the broadcast. Like, you would have thought you were a WWE superstar screaming, oh, yeah. But it was like a really subtle, oh, yeah. You knew in that moment, man, I just killed it.
Yeah, I mean, I knew after the first 10, I was like, all right, we're rolling. I felt
that quickly.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Yeah, because, I mean, you run them so much in training. You're like, and like, you know, like, every little detail of, like, you know, how you're feeling when you're running. You know, where your arm swing is, where your leg drives out. I was like, no, like, I'm running right now. Like, even through the 20, I was like, yeah, we're rolling. And, you know, the big thing that we're training is keep your head down and, like, don't look up. And, you know, as soon as I just felt the cross, I was like, yeah, we did that. You know, we hit it, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So for people that haven't seen you play, or like a defensive lineman doesn't get highlighted, you know, when you're just an average fan watching. Right. You have to describe your game. When Braden Fisk gets onto a football field, what type of player are you?
I would definitely consider controlled chaos. You know, we're just out there, I mean, relentless, you know, just out there flying to the ball. That's one thing about my game is, you know, I like to call myself a sideline to sideline defensive tackle. You know, you just don't see it often. I there's not a play out there I don't feel like I can't make. And I just, you know, we get to the ball, whether, you know, I could be on one hash, I'm running to the numbers to make a play. At least get in the camera frame. I was always taught to be in the camera frame at the end, and that's something I just try to bring to my game, because you get to the ball, good things happen. You know, whether that's turnovers or just getting a hat on the ball, whatever it may be, like, it's just opportunities are there when you get to the ball, so that's just something I really believe in.
So you're taller than Aaron Donald, but, like, weight-wise, you guys are somewhat similar.
Probably in a similar range, yeah.
Do you kind of use that to your advantage? Because, you know, when you think defensive tackle, you know, typically you think 6'4", like 360 pounds, like Ted Washington was 20-something years ago. So how do you kind of use your size or lack of it to an advantage?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's all about just, like, the speed I play in my game. My get-off is one of the most important assets of my game is, you know, I like to say just beating the guy to the punch. I mean, beating the double teams to the punch and pass game, you know, beating them to a set. Like, it's all a combination of, you know, using my speed to my advantage, because that's going to be a lot of my game. And, I mean, I realize I'm not the 320, 330-pound guy out there. Like, I'm not going to be, like, over-imposing, you know, in the run game. But if I can beat you to the punch and then, you know, have the most precise technique, then I got a good shot to win, because, I mean, that's how I have to win. You know, that's how I, you know, that's what I've modeled my game after. And, you know, that's because what I knock, the details. Like, that's how I go about my game. And that's kind of worked up to this point. You just got to keep sharpening it.
I've done some homework on you. I know that you grew up as a Colts fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Patriot fan, but we could still sit here.
Yeah, we
could still have a good conversation.
For sure.
But I won't hold it against you, even though they're my least favorite team in the NFL, back to the Brady Manning whole rivalry.
Yeah.
But who is a player now in the league
that
you kind of model your game after, you kind of look up to?
Right. Big Zach Sealer fan from Dolphins. Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
Yeah, solid player. He was at Ferris State, and we kind of made a connection when I was up there at Michigan or Western Michigan, and just kind of been following his career. I mean, he was a guy that early on in his career, he was, you know, cut a couple times. You know, I don't know if you heard the story, like, living out of an RV, you know, just trying to make the team, and now he's on a second contract. I mean, he's a 10 sack guy this past season, and I mean, he's just a baller. Like, it's just, like, the way he plays the game, he plays up and down the line, he runs to the ball. I play very similar to the way he does, and it's just something I like to model my game after. And same with a guy like Max Crosby, you know, just the motor he plays with, the intensity he plays with. I mean, a lot of the plays he can make are just based off of sheer effort and, you know, sheer will and want to get to the ball. And, you know, that's something I love about both their games is, you know, like, one way or another, they're going to get it done.
There's nothing wrong with going to a smaller school. Like, I went to Temple. A lot of my friends that played on the Temple football team ended up.
To us, it's not a big deal. But, you know, the outside world is, oh, he didn't play anybody. Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, I don't mind having a player that was overlooked, you know, and has a little extra chip on his shoulder and feels like he gets slighted. But why did you think, in your recruiting process, looking back at it, you had to go to Western Michigan first before landing at Florida State?
Well, I think it started because I was a 230-pound offensive lineman in high school. I mean, that was probably the first issue, but I think it was hard for teams just to project what I was going to be. Like, I mean, I was like 6'3", 6'4", 230 pounds playing offensive line because my high school coach didn't believe in the two-way player. And it was just the best situation for my high school at the time was, you know, we need you to play offensive line. You'd be a pulling guard, pulling tackle, and, you know, trap situations and power situations. So, but when I went to Western Michigan, my D coordinator, Lou Esposito, was like, hey, just come to the camp. Just try it out. And, you know, I did both sides of the ball. I did offensive line, defensive line, and one-on-ones. And he saw something in me. You know, they offered me on a Monday, and that Friday, the next Friday, I committed. I said, no, like, the first school offered me must want me. And that was kind of late in the process because, you know, I've been going to like 30, 40 of those one-day camps that, you know, the coaches watch you at, and they kind of just write you off. As once they weigh you in, you're like, ah, okay. And you go out there, run around, and but no, I mean, luckily I was. That was the greatest thing that happened to me because, you know, Western Michigan, Kalamazoo, they put me in the position I'm in today. I mean, I spent 5 years there, so the development that I had there, just not even as just a player, but as a man, like it changed me. And, you know, I think I'm just very grateful for that experience.
So I don't know how much you pay attention to the mock drafts. You can't be reading them religiously.
I noticed them.
But I've seen you somewhere in the 20s, the late 30s, and I've seen you just outside of there.
Yeah.
Where do you think? Like, do you have any sense on where you're going to end up going?
It's so wishy-washy. I wish I did, because, you know, the amount of people that ask me where you're going, I'm just like, I have no clue. I mean, you can't know. But, I mean, I think with the work that's been put in, the body of work, you know, everything I've been able to accomplish, I think maybe in that range. I wish I could give you a solidified answer. I really have no idea.
Have there been a few teams that you've talked to, maybe more than the others?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, I definitely, you know, I've talked a lot to the, you know, Seahawks, Steelers, you know, Vegas a little bit, and just, but really all 32, because everyone plays their cards differently, you know. I mean, like private workouts, whatever it may be, like, you just know, like, some teams have interest, but they don't want to play their cards because they don't want to let another team know, you know, how interested they are, whatever it may be. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what happens. It's gonna be an interesting day.
What do you think you're gonna do for it? Are you going to the draft?
That's kind of the
you're waiting to see if the invite's extended.
Right, the ground kind of, yeah, that's kind of where we're playing the, you know, waiting game. Like, if I am invited, do you want to go? Like, because, you know, I've been telling, you know, my team, like, damn, like, do I want to be the guy that's sitting there at, you know, 25, 26, 27 in the green room? You got the camera panned on you, looking all depressed with your family.
It's torture.
Right, and then when the whole time, you know, I'm thinking, yeah, maybe I could just be at home, my family and friends having a good time. But, you know, then the conversation is brought up of, you know, what if you don't go and you just sit there like, yeah, I wish I would have been there just for the experience, you know, because like, there's only 32 guys that get to go up there and shake the commissioner's hand and, you know, like walk on the stage and just get that picture taken. I mean, that's once in a lifetime opportunity. So I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. I mean, I see the both sides could be, you know, super cool, but I guess we'll try to make that decision as it comes.
So who was your favorite Colts player growing up?
Surprisingly, Bob Sanders. I was a big Bob Sanders fan.
He was phenomenal.
He was awesome. I mean, I think he won Defensive Player of the Year in like 07. And that's where he flew around. And, you know, it was unfortunate. His career was riddled with injuries. But, man, he was a baller. And obviously, you know, Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis were big. And then, you know, Gary Brecken. I love the Colts teams. Like, that was like a huge part of my childhood. Like, I idolized those teams. And, I mean, there's just so many studs. And I wish they could have won a couple more Super Bowls. But I had to run it to y'all boys.
Yeah, it was a few they couldn't
get
the job done.
That was an era of football. That was an unreal era of, like, just competition.
So last thing I'll ask you, and Braden Fisk is joining us in studio, is phenomenal. Had a great season this past year at Florida State, rising up the draft boards. The 40 time was just absolutely insane. I'm a GM, and I say to you, why should I use a first-round pick on you? What's the answer you give me?
You know, I just think what I bring to the table from a maturity standpoint, you know, I mean, I think I've been able to polish my game up to this point in my career, and just what I bring into the locker room from a leadership standpoint. I mean, you're getting a pro from day one. You know, I'm not somebody that is going to be off the field issues. You know, I'm not a young guy that doesn't know how to deal with, you know, being somewhere on time. You know, I'm not somebody that doesn't know how to deal with injuries. I've been through the injuries. I know how to rehab. You know, I get what it takes to, you know, be a pro, and just what it means to be in a locker room with guys and, you know, having the same common goal. Like, I'm not the, you know, the me guy. I'm a we guy, and, you know, that's something I can bring from day one. And I think it could be an instant impact. You know, I've seen so much ball. You know, you hand me a playbook, I'm gonna have it ready. Like, just everything from, you know, just being a pro standpoint, I think it's something I bring from day one. And I can't wait to get into a locker room, no matter where I'm picked, because I know, like, the instant impact I can have and just how I'm gonna treat it from day one. Like, I'm gonna find a vet from day one, and we're gonna get to work. I'm gonna take all the information I can, and I'm just ready to go. I've been waiting on this moment for a long time.
Now, I've been waiting to bring this up, and I'll make it my last question here with Braden Fisk. Let's say I read all these scouting reports, and for you, they're like short arms. I don't see the short arms.
I don't. I mean, that's all I hear. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, you hear from the scout side, the guys, you know, they have to look at all the analytics. And,
stupid,
you know,
process.
You know, you're right. They're the ones that care so much about the, you know, arm. Like, but you talk to D-line coaches, they're like, I don't care, man. You play in the interior, like, you're good. And that feels better because, you know, you hear it enough times, you're like, damn, man, do I really got to, like, is that really going to be that big of an issue? Like, what's going on? But when you hear, like, you know, get confirmation from the right people, it's like, yeah, those scouts don't know what they're talking about. We're good.
Well, appreciate you coming in. Best of luck, and we're hoping that your name is called nice and early coming up at the end of next month, all
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. It's been awesome.
You got it. He is Braden Fisk, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. Come on back after these short messages.
Your fever is high, and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on, while she's sneezing, coughing, and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker. coworker of yours.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Yo, next round is about to start. You ready?
Yeah, just shopping for a car in Carvana.
For real?
Yeah, Carvana makes it super convenient to shop whenever, wherever.
For real? That's a ton of car options.
Yep, and these are all within my price range.
For really real? You can afford that?
Yeah, with Carvana. And boom, just like that, I'm getting it delivered in a couple days.
For really, really real? You just bought a car.
For real, and you just lost. My turn.
Visit Carvana.com to shop for thousands of vehicles under $20,000.
I love that conversation with Braden Fisk. Phenomenal. I'm rooting for him. But I have one issue with the conversation. One issue. And it has to do with Michael Samter. I smell a fraud. Samter, little fraudulent after the interview. Thanks, Braden, for coming in. And I heard it. You thought the door was closing, but it didn't close. Samter goes, I hope my Jets can draft you. I thought you were a Chiefs fan.
You misheard me.
No, I didn't mishear crap.
No, I said I hope the Chiefs get you.
Oh, you're lucky that.
And then when the door closed,
rolling.
You must not have heard me say it. The barbecue was amazing in KC.
Fraud alert! Fraud alert! Fraud alert! Fraud alert! Fraud alert!
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Pinocchio.
Chiefs Kingdom, baby.
That nose is growing.
This nose cannot get much bigger, I'll be honest. I mean, there's not a lot of room for this thing to go.
Stu? Your thoughts here?
I mean, I didn't hear it, so I don't know how much I could say, but that sounds fraudulent if that is true. That's not a good look.
Stu was just basking in the fact that the Raiders were talking to him.
Yeah, that's great. Is true.
That's awesome.
The Steelers, the Seahawks, and the Raiders, I think, were the three teams that he specifically said. And isn't that the most bizarre thing? Like, you hear so much about someone. And this guy had a really good career. He's a phenomenal story. And with any prospect that we talk to, the first thing I do is I see what like a Lance Zierlein or a Daniel Jeremiah, any of these draft gurus, I see what the strengths and the weaknesses are. And the first thing I saw with him was small arms. And he sits down next to me. And I'm a pretty big dude. Like, I'm not one of these, like, traditional talk show hosts that are pretty damn small. And I look over. I'm like, small arms? What the heck are they talking about with Braden Fisk? So it's one of those just ridiculous draft analysis that just goes way
too far. Else had small arms and that dropped him out of the top pick? Was Aiden Hutchinson. How's that turning out for the Lions?
You know what? That is a great point. And the player from Georgia, Trayvon Walker, who's been okay.
He's actually, the last year, yeah, he's actually gotten a lot better. He had 10 sacks last year.
Yeah, but I look back at that draft. I remember saying this when we were there in Vegas, that there should have been two people, bare minimum, that should have gone before Walker. And that was Hutchinson. And then it was also Kayvon Thibodeau, the analysis of him in the draft, and I remember I talked about a Super Bowl, and I'm like, man, I know what people say about you, and I just don't get that from this conversation that he cares too much about being a star and he cares too much about being off the field, you know, and what he does off the field, that he can't, football can't be his main focus. And, you know, since I bring that up, did you see Caleb Williams at the USC basketball game last night? So Caleb Williams at the USC women's basketball game last night, and he has his fingernails painted. He's like dancing. And people are slamming him today for that. Now, here's what I will say about Caleb Williams. Like, I don't care if you paint your fingernails. I don't care if you dance. The only fear I have with Caleb Williams, and maybe it's just because I realized this recently, because 9.9 times out of 10, and I've said this numerous times, I think the entire draft process is a sham. And I think it's a bunch of hogwash. But when we've just seen Russell Wilson go from being like a great unquestioned quarterback to now it's like he cares more about the off-the-field brand. And, you know, he did all those TikToks where he's like, Mr. Unlimited. And it was just really, like, creepy. You just now, whenever I see a quarterback, I go, does he give you any Russ vibes? And Caleb Williams, sometimes on social media, can give you a little Russell Wilson vibe. And I saw Ike Reese, the former linebacker and special teams player, and now does a talk show, going to be doing a talk show with Spike Eskin, our boss, whenever they let Spike leave this building, whatever that will be. I don't know when Spike is going to leave this building. I've never seen an announcement. It's been announced, what, like 3-4 months ago now? Spike is still here as the program director. It's crazy. But even Ike Reese said, he's just said, there's something with Caleb Williams that, you know, he just can't get all in with Caleb Williams yet. And that just, the Russell Wilson kind of off-the-field situation is the one thing with Caleb Williams where I'm just like, maybe there's something to it. And I think it's such a, I don't want to say stupid move by Russell Wilson, but Russ just cared so much about the way he was portrayed the last 2 years, and Russ cared so much about the imaging around him and all that stuff, and it felt like he put more of an emphasis on the brand of Russell Wilson rather than the football player of Russell Wilson. Did you see Russ already? He's working out indoors with sunglasses on, already got the legendary Steelers shirts, like players on the shirts. Like, Russ gives you like the ultimate like try-hard vibes the last 3 years, where he just wants to be the cool kid at the popular table. And like, you already were the cool kid at the popular table, but now like you're really laying into it and it's almost a little bit insufferable. So that's going to be a thing. And it's not like this is just out of nowhere. Even Jalen Johnson of the Chicago Bears, right? Their corner that just got paid a pretty penny. Even he was just saying recently, like, that Hollywood stuff isn't going to fly in our locker room. That's the only concern I have with Caleb Williams, is the first impression with these Bears teammates. And if you're as good as people say you're on the field, then winning and being great will win out. But I want to see if there's a little early adversity, especially when so many of those guys were adamant that Justin Fields was the guy, how they just handle that entire situation if it gets off to a little bit of a rocky start. Wholeheartedly, it's the right decision. 100% the right decision to go with Caleb Williams, number one pick, and you have DJ Moore, you have Keenan Allen, you're walking into a good situation. But I want to see what that first impression is like. And then if they get off to like a 1-3 start, we'll really then see the leadership of Caleb Williams and Kenny then make that transition to the NFL.
The one thing I'll say is, as much as I love DJ Moore and as much as I've been a Keenan Allen guy, I mean, I had him on fantasy teams for years.
Yeah.
Before people were like recognizing him, I was like, man, this guy is a baller. As good as they are and as veteran as they are and all of these things, at the end of the day, I don't think anything that they say or do is going to matter. Caleb Williams is the future of that franchise. They're going to bend over backwards and do whatever it takes for him to be comfortable, maybe to their detriment. But if anybody comes out and complains or has issues with Caleb Williams, they're going to be gone, right?
That doesn't mean that the criticisms aren't valid.
100% true, right? It kind of reminds me of all the Ben Simmons stuff, right? Everyone was complaining about Ben Simmons, right? Jimmy Butler was complaining about Ben Simmons. Harden and Embiid, all these guys complaining about Ben Simmons.
They coddled him too much, though.
But every team chose Ben Simmons over all these other guys, and then to their detriment, and now Ben Simmons is not going to play in the NBA maybe ever again.
Yeah.
And all these guys got traded left and right, all because they criticized the golden child, the Ben Simmons, and this could be what happened in Chicago. At the end of the day, I think DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and those guys are smart enough to fall in line. The quarterback is what matters, and the Bears are desperate for the quarterback, so we'll see what happens.
So Caleb Williams is going one. We don't know which quarterback's going two, and a quarterback I think will go three. The question is, do the Patriots keep the pick, or do they trade the pick? Are we going to see four quarterbacks go? 1, 2, 3, 4. So let's say Williams goes one, Jaden Daniels goes two, Drake May goes three, maybe it's McCarthy three. But that fourth pick, whether the three teams stay the same or not, I think it's going to be fascinating who then calls the Cardinals. Because the Cardinals, I think they got to go for it. I think they should draft Marvin Harrison Jr., assuming he's there and he will be there. But you could get 2-3 future first-round picks and just delay going for it another year. The reason why I'm just so hell-bent on taking Marvin Harrison Jr., not only do I think he's the best player in this draft, but I want to see Kyler Murray get a legit shot to succeed this year. And I think you got to go for it after punting a year ago and getting that extra first-round pick with the deal that you made with the Houston Texans. But there's reports the Giants are trying to move into the top three. And maybe they feel like they have to now to get one of their guys because at 4 or 5, maybe a trade does happen. The Vikings, we know, want to move up. The Raiders, they want to move up. The Broncos supposedly want to move up. I actually think out of those four teams, the Giants, the Vikings, Raiders, and the Broncos, the team that needs to move up the most, the Minnesota Vikings. Like, the Raiders just had a new regime come in. The Broncos, they could tank, and they could wait a year from now. The Giants, not that I think you want to rest on Daniel Jones because he's never healthy, and that regime may feel pressure to go for it, especially Joe Shane learning for Brandon Bean. Brandon Bean did go for it. This could be their last year, Brandon Bean, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. But I think the Vikings, you don't want to mess with the whole Justin Jefferson situation, not getting his contract. You have Hockenson, you have Addison, you have a lot of good pieces, and in a conference that's open, I think you got to go get your quarterback now after not being able to get a deal done with Kirk Cousins. Like, if you go into this season with Sam Darnold starting week one, that's ugly. That is just ugly. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We got the whole crew here today. Stu, and still a Jet fan, Michael Santer.
Oh, Mr. Fisk. Oh, I hope you're on my Jets. I hope you're on my Jets. I thought you were a Chiefs fan. Come on, you got to get your story right.
You ever get that tattoo, by the way, that you promised Mike Pinnell?
I think you got to get your hearing checked, right? You know, mm-hmm. I said Chiefs. I don't know what you were thinking.
Okay. So I have to call Braden up. I have to call him up and say, hey, what was the team that guy said that he hopes you get drafted by?
Nah, I wouldn't call him.
Oh, yeah.
There's
you don't
no
want
reason
me to call
to
him.
Call him.
You
don't
rat.
Need to call him.
You're lucky you
I
got me a
Chiefs.
Sandwich
I'm
today.
I'm your producer. You got to trust me, you know?
You're lucky. You're lucky that there was some food around here and you actually did well and got Stu a sandwich and got me a sandwich. You got me fed. You know what? I'll move on from the blunder and the blip and the whole Samter shtick that we all have to listen to. Chiefs. You know what? As Jerry Jones would say, my ass, as Skip Bayless would say as well. Samter being a Chiefs fan. My ass. All righty, here he is, Rich Ackerman with the latest CBS Sports Radio update.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven. Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
March means chips, dips, and swish. Instacart makes getting game time snacks easy with delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. The hard part? Choosing between your favorite snacks. That's why you can stock up on all your favorites with $5 off when you spend $30 or more on specially marked Frito-Lay chips, dips, and more through Instacart. So you don't have to choose between Doritos and Cheetos or Tostitos and Ruffles. You can just get them all. Offer valid for a limited time. Exclusions and additional terms apply.
What's the first thing you'd do if you'd had more time in the day? Take a nap? Read a book? Talk with a friend? When you know what's important to you, it's easier to fit it into your schedule. Therapy can help you figure that out. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy that comes to you. Start the process in minutes and switch therapists anytime. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/grow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/grow.
So let me first say that this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. You're stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Two rules that I have an issue with. The hip drop tackle. I'll spend the least amount of time on this compared to the other one, the NFL hybrid kickoff that they're going to have, which is just stupid. But the hip drop tackle, throw it into the long list of things that should be easy in the NFL that now no one knows what to do. Pass interference. How many times you see a guy get mugged, no flag gets thrown, a guy sneezes then on someone, up, it's a spot foul. A catch. Remember that whole debate? It still doesn't end. What is a catch? What isn't a catch? We don't know. Tackling has been so difficult as well because you're a defensive lineman. You can't land the majority of your weight on a quarterback. How many times we see roughing the passer where it's just a football play? And this hip drop tackle where you're running from behind and then you latch onto someone and then you use their body weight and then drag them down, like J.J. Watt is one of the more decorated defensive players ever. You know, with all the Defensive Player of the Year awards, he was asked by Pat McAfee to define what a hip drop tackle is. He's like, I don't even know. So I don't know how to tackle now. I know you can't go for the head, and now you can't chase someone down from behind and drag them down. So, like, are people just going to be then just going for people's knees now? And then you just have more ACL injuries? You know, football is a violent game. And this is my biggest problem, and it goes to this new kickoff rule. The NFL tells you how much they put an emphasis on player safety, but they're the first people, right? Oh, it's Christmas Day is on a Wednesday this year. We're going to have games. Now, we're not going to give players time to rest. Or we care so much about player safety. Yeah, I know we're taking away one preseason game, but we're going to add a regular season game. Another regular season game where there's actually contact that occurs. And there will be more around the turnpike that the NFL schedule will eventually get watered down, and they'll add too many games. So the NFL's problem is, since they ignored player safety for so many years, now they try to make it priority number one. It's still not priority number one. If you don't know what priority number one is, well, it's money. But they try to spin it in different phases of the game, special teams and defense, where they try to make things safer in a sport that is a lethal sport. So this new hybrid kickoff, it just shows you how backward it is. They eliminated the old kickoff because it was unsafe, right? It was the most unsafe play, they said, in the NFL. They go to this new kickoff, and they're like, oh, we don't have enough returns. So now they've had to come up with a new plan where on the receiving team side of the field, you line up your blockers at the 35, and then the guys that are on the kickoff team line up at the 40, 5 yards apart, and you either have to wait to move until the ball lands in the 20 and rolls, or it's picked up by the return guy. And you can only have a max of two return guys. It's such a gimmick to me. This is like flag football. And you're definitely going to have an increase in returns, because if you kick the ball out of the end zone, this is the part of the rule that actually infuriates me the most. You then start at the 35-yard line. So you kick that ball straight out of the end zone. You start at the 35-yard line. Now, the ball bounces at like the 15 or inside the 20 and rolls out of the end zone. Then it goes to the 20. So those are just two things. That ball going to 35, that drives me bonkers.
Just for the record, I think it's the 30 out of the end zone. It's the 30.
Okay, still. 30, 35, whatever. It's too much. You want to start at the 25? Like, they made that change from the 20 to 25? Okay. But to now start it, you're saying the 30? That's another 5 yards closer to the end zone?
Well, so I understand the idea of it, because basically what they're saying is we want more returns. Right. We want more returns. And by having this rule where the kicking team can't start moving until the ball is touched by one of the returners, there's less of a likelihood of a high impact hit that's going to cause an injury. So you're getting the best of both worlds. You're getting returns and fewer injuries. So you're getting the best of both worlds. If you don't have this penalty for out of the end zone, then basically kickers are just going to try to do what they're doing and kick it as hard as they possibly can, because then there would be no incentive
ball up to 35,
not to,
by the way, if it goes out of the end zone.
All the articles I'm reading says 30.
From the statement I have right here for the NFL, it says ball at the 35 if it goes out of the end zone. But regardless, we don't need to ruin the show over 5 yards.
I'm looking at Yahoo and Washington Post. They're clearly wrong. If the NFL is saying it, then the NFL is correct.
The Washington Post? Uh-oh. Kim Mulkey? Is that what we're doing here? We're reading those sleazy reporters at the Washington Post? I'm just tongue-in-cheek. But anyway, over 5 yards, it's still too many. If you're right or I'm right, I'm just reading the statement that I got where it says ball at the 35 if it goes out of the end zone. Now, here's the thing, though. Can I just say this? And maybe this is viewed as insensitive to issues and injuries and all that. Can we just go back to the old kickoff? Like, this to me seems like a gimmick. And, like, we're talking about possibility. Like, doesn't this feel like flag football to you, Samter? It just seems like a gimmick.
I'll be honest. I think the getting rid of the hip drop tackle rule is more flag football to me. This does feel gimmicky, but there's a method to the madness. Like, the runner on second base in extra innings feels overly gimmicky and stupid to me in baseball. But this feels like there's actually a purpose. We're trying to avoid injury while also have more kickoff returns. It's going to be a more entertaining product on the field that's going to be safer as well. I actually really like the kickoff rule. Yes, it's gimmicky. Yes, there's rules you have to remember, but I really like it.
Why?
Because, like I said, it gets rid of
the... Don't mention the hip drop, because we only got a minute. But yeah. Why do you like this kickoff?
Well, like I said, it's going to reduce the amount of injuries while also increasing the number of kickoffs. At this point, the kickoff is obsolete. When was the last time you really saw, like, a important, successful...
Yeah, because they changed it.
Yes. So it's been boring. The kickoff has been nothing. And if you go back to the old way, guys are going to continue getting hurt, concussions, and all these other things. So this way you solve both problems. The old way was too dangerous. The new way was boring and useless.
And here's my
problem.
Now
you get both.
The NFL is a dangerous game. And when they pick and choose when to parachute on when to care about player safety... They would never do, like, I know that saying they would never do this on the offense side. They would never do something on the offensive side of the ball that takes away from the offense. They took away from special teams. They take away from the defense. And now it's like, oh, we missed the old way that it was, so now we're going to create something new. I just don't like it. And I talked to one special teams player today. And this player said that he did not like these new rules. And he thought they should go back to the old way. But that's not a battle that any of us are going to win. And also, now you have to announce that it's going to be an onside kick. No more surprise onside
kicks.
That's
lame.
Come on, what are we doing?
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Instacart shoppers know groceries. They know that you can't make guacamole with rock-hard avocados. They know how to quickly find those peanut butter pretzels you can never find. And they keep you in the know by giving you updates about your order along the way. Let Instacart shoppers help take shopping off your plate so you can get time and energy back for what really matters. Visit instacart.com or download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply. Instacart. Add life to cart.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.